Ticket City presents Why You Go to the Game to see the Tide roll.
You know, we knew they were going to make it. And out of nowhere, number 95, Thomas Ram, blocks that kick. And I mean, I can still hear the sound, the two thumps. One was the kick, and the one was his hand blocking that kick. And of course, the Alabama fans went crazy.
Put yourself in the action with Ticket City. Visit Tidesports.com and click tickets.
The Bama Beat. From the sports desk of the Tuscaloosa News and Tidesports.com. Now, the Bama Beat Podcast.
This episode of the Bama Beat is sponsored by Holman Contracting Group in Tuscaloosa. Holman Contracting Group is your go-to company for roofing, remodeling, and new construction homes. Make your dream home a reality and give them a call at 205-523-7088. You can also contact them at HolmanContractors.com or on Facebook. Welcome back to the Bama Beat. I'm Ben Jones here with Cecil Hurt. We are just returned from Alabama's press conference where four of its underclassmen have declared for the NFL draft. We're going to break that down, the four guys leaving, all the guys coming back, what it means for the 2019 season. Cecil, how's it going today?
Great. How are you?
I'm doing well. So let's go ahead. We can start with the four players who are leaving, and then later on we'll talk about the guys who are coming back, kind of finish up the podcast looking forward. Junior left tackle Jonah Williams, junior tight end Irv Smith Jr., junior running back Josh Jacobs, redshirt sophomore defensive lineman Quinnen Williams, all headed pro. Don't know if there's a big surprise of any of the four of them. I would say at least three of them, Jonah Williams, Quinnen Williams, and Josh Jacobs, we all thought were probably likely to go pro. Would you say that's fair?
Yes, I would. And I thought Irv, given the tight end board this year, I thought it's probably good timing for Irv. One thing I'll say is that if you had looked mock drafts in August prior to the start of the season, you would have seen Jonah. You really would not have seen any of the other three.
Yeah, that's correct. Even when some of the mock drafts at that time of year had five or six Alabama players in the first round.
Raquan Davis.
Mack Wilson, Deontay Thompson. This is probably as good a time to point out as any when you hear about XYZ player coming back for the season, was projected as a first-round pick in whatever mock draft. I don't know how much stock you really want to put in all of these mock drafts. Some of them are very good out there. There are some people that really do talk with NFL teams, some people that are legitimate talent evaluators that work for a media entity now rather than an NFL team and know what they're talking about. And there are some folks that do not know what they're talking about. Right. Somebody from a website I've never heard of was in my mentions as we were leaving, my Twitter mentions as we were leaving the press conference, saying that he had Deontay Thompson projected as the number 8 overall pick to the Lions. How often do you see a safety go in the top 10 overall? B, I don't know where else he'd been. Not to say that Deontay Thompson wouldn't have been drafted and wouldn't have been a high pick at some point, but you have to take some of these with a grain of salt. I think in particular because we cover Alabama and not another school, this is something that you and I have talked about before not recording the podcast. There are some folks who put together these mock drafts, and you know, with a little bit of research, you can find 15 or 20 legitimate first-round prospects just by reading watching, checking whatever lists you want to look at. But then you get to your 20 guys, and you've got 32 spots in your first-round mock draft, and you've got to fill 12 more spots. And I think in some cases there's a tendency for them to say, well, who's Alabama got an inside linebacker this year? They've had a lot of inside linebackers. Let's put Mack Wilson there in the bottom of this draft. I'm not sure Mack Wilson was ever a first-round pick in any team's eyes during this season. Physically, they might have liked him, but there were always probably other questions about him going into the season. And maybe the same with some of these other guys. Quinnen Williams, like you said, wasn't a first-round pick in anyone's eyes going into this season. Jonah Williams, however, was.
Jonah's been.
Yeah.
There are occasionally players like Jonah, like Julio, who there's no question about it. Their freshman year, you can see it, and that's the way that's going to go. But those are pretty rare, actually. And I think this year is a good example of how guys can play themselves into position. It wasn't necessarily a case of that Quinnen or Josh or could have gone last year, but it is an example of how you can improve your stock in a single season.
Yeah. I would say that Jonah Williams was probably always on the three-year plan here. I would guess that if Alabama hadn't planned on losing him in 3 years while they were recruiting him, they probably planned on that when he got on campus during that first spring or summer, once they realized that he was going to be their starting right tackle.
Yeah, I mean, he was the number one recruit, offensive line recruit, 3 years ago. And so sometimes it just plays out. That's the way it plays out.
Yeah. And programs do take a look at guys who are of a certain caliber and project that they're going to lose them at a certain time for recruiting purposes. Minkah Fitzpatrick was another guy that I think Alabama always knew wasn't going to have for this year, his senior season.
Right. Or Ed Oliver or Bosa or, you know, those teams knew. You know, Houston knew they would have Ed Oliver for 3 years.
Right.
Ohio State knew they'd have Bosa for 3 years.
Yeah. Jonah Williams, I think, also knew this and was planning on this, which is why he was able to graduate in December. That's 3 years on campus. Obviously, it's 2.5 semesters of when you guys saw him, but since he was an early enrollee, he had that sixth semester when he would have been a high school senior. So he probably planned on doing this as well. And when we talked with him today, he said everything really worked out according to plan, except for the last game, you know? They've had a lot of success here. He was able to complete his degree in 3 years. You know, he wanted to be an All-American while he was here. He wanted to, like I said, he wanted to graduate in 3 years. And if he was going to stay, give himself an opportunity to get his master's while he was here. Everything went according to plan for Jonah Williams, which is a credit, I think, to his talent, but also to his work ethic. And now he's off to the NFL and will probably be a top 10 pick and has a good chance to be the first tackle taken.
Yeah, versatile guy. You know, he could probably play either side.
Yeah.
Probably go inside if you needed him to.
Mm-hmm.
So he'll grade out well, and teams are always looking for offensive linemen. So
yeah.
It's interesting this year's group of quarterbacks and not particularly at Alabama, where Tua has another year of eligibility before he can go. But a couple of guys decided not to go, and it's going to be an interesting board this year and an interesting season next year with almost all the big-name quarterbacks. The exceptions would be Haskins and, I guess, Murray. He doesn't seem to have made his mind up between football, baseball, college, or pro at this point. But Tua's back. Fromm is back. Lawrence is back. Herbert is back. So it's an interesting group coming back next year.
Yeah. Before we move on from Jonah, I do want to mention when we spoke with him after the press conference, someone asked him if he'd gone back and rewatched the national championship game because he's known, you know, probably among all the players on the team as being a film junkie. I talked with his high school coach at one time who said that after their games on Friday night, Jonah would sit down that Friday night and rewatch the games and have every one of his plays broken down for the coach to review there on Saturday morning or on Sunday morning when the coach finally got back to work. He said that he'd watched the national championship game a couple times that night after the game and then back in Tuscaloosa rewatched it with Alabama's coaching staff. So
yeah,
that's the kind of guy he is.
Definite student of the game and dedicated to getting himself better. And again, all those intangibles, Wunderlich and exit interviews, you know, Jonah will be great for all the NFL teams he talks to.
Yeah. Moving along, Quinnen Williams, probably also going to be chosen in the top half of the first round, had a huge season this year, won the Outland Trophy as the best lineman on either side of the ball in college football, was a really disruptive player for Alabama on the defensive line, kind of came out of nowhere. I think people were expecting Raekwon Davis and Isaiah Buggs to have very strong seasons, but it was Quinnen Williams who was probably the MVP of the defense this year.
Oh, I think so, and helped everybody by attracting double teams and occasionally defeating double teams. The you know, there are a million takes after Monday's game, but the one that said Quinnen Williams didn't play well because he didn't sack Trevor Lawrence, that's incorrect. Yeah. I thought he played well.
I did too. I thought Clemson had accounted for him and was aware of him before the snap.
And I thought Trevor did a good job of getting the ball out quick sometimes.
Yeah.
Where your nose tackle just isn't going to get there. He's just not going to get there.
Yeah.
So, and again, Clemson was able to do some things in protection because Alabama didn't have a real threat on the edge. And that, I think, hindered Quinnen a little bit as well. But to say he didn't play, he played exceptionally well against the run. And maintain the level that he had been at all year long.
Yeah. Later on this spring, we'll probably sit down and do a podcast about the best NFL fits for these guys or look at some of these mock drafts. Still a lot of time in between now and then, and you know, playing the mock draft game before the combine, before the Senior Bowl, before workouts.
Before the Super Bowl, where you know what the
order is going to be. Yeah. I would assume that Quinnen would go somewhere in the first round, probably in the top half of the first round. I wonder if teams are going to look at his size and question if he's a little bit of a tweener. You know, he probably played at more like 280 or 290 at Alabama, and I think that's a little bit light for a defensive tackle in the NFL. It's a little bit big for a defensive end, so I don't know if he fits as a 3-4 end or what the market is for him, but I'm sure he got a very high grade, and it was the right decision for him to come out.
Oh, he got a first-round grade.
Yeah.
And you really can't come back in those circumstances, even if you could. There were areas where you could improve yourself.
Yeah. Josh Jacobs seemed to kind of keep seeing his stock rise higher and higher, not only this year but throughout his career. I think probably going into the season, you wouldn't have had to talk me into Josh Jacobs being an NFL prospect, but you would have had to talk me into him being an NFL prospect this season. Certainly when he signed with Alabama back in the spring of 2016 on National Signing Day, you know, they weren't sure if they were going to have room for him, and he wasn't recruited that heavily throughout most of his senior year of high school. No one would have thought he was a guy that would be going pro after 3 years like this.
Well, you know, he was injured last year. I mean, he had never had 100%, I thought, with the hamstring. Damien coming back this year, I think people thought that he'd get a large majority or at least a large percentage of the carries. But Josh, just so versatile, could do so many different things, and has gotten thicker, you know, has gotten stronger. And particularly with running backs, they have X number of years. And the question is, are you going to spend one of those years getting paid or not getting paid? Because he's going to end up with the same X number of years. And you say, oh, well, his workload wasn't super heavy at Alabama, which it was not. You know, he wasn't carrying 25 times
a game. Doesn't matter when you're 29, 30 years old.
But exactly. You know, there's that 4, 5, 6 year window. You know, Mark Ingram has really exceeded the window for most running backs. He's had a remarkable career, but you know, you look at so many guys that were number one running backs or leading rushers on their team, and you know, they're 3 or 4 years in the league, and then they're that's it. And you don't get that year back financially.
I would assume one thing that really helped Josh is that he will probably be used on an NFL team similar to how he was used in college. He's not going anywhere to carry the ball 22 times a game. He's going to get 7 or 8 carries a game, 3 or 4 receptions maybe. He's going to probably play on special teams and return kickoffs, which is all the stuff that he did at Alabama.
But just about every NFL team now has that guy, wants to have that guy. Darren Sproles is probably one of the first ones you'd think of. But, you know, the Patriots use players like that. The Browns have done that. Everybody's looking for that multi-purpose guy. Can be a receiver, can be a third down back. And I would think that he would be in that role the highest rated player. You know, maybe not the number one running back, but the number one multi-purpose running back.
Yeah, you know, the running back as a position has obviously been devalued in the NFL in recent years. I don't think anyone expects Josh Jacobs to be a first-round pick. I also don't think anyone would dispute that this was probably the best decision for Josh, particularly given his family situation. You know, it's no secret. I think a lot of people read the Bleacher Report story that was out earlier this year that he lived with his father at times in their car while he was in high school. So, you know, Josh being able to go and get paid in the NFL at this point is probably what's best for him and everyone involved. He's a good kid, and I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss all of these guys who have all been helpful to us in one way or another over the last 3 or 4 years.
Absolutely. What that does for Alabama now is it
it makes running back is not a deep position going into next year.
For the first time in a long time, it's not that four deep.
Yeah.
Situation.
You've got Najee Harris, who I think is a better runner than a running back.
And by the way, there were a million fake Najee Harris transferring stories yesterday. There was one, I think there was a fake Brent McMurphy and a fake me and a fake everybody. He's not, without Najee hadn't indicated anything that he is thinking about transferring, nor would it make any particular sense for him to go somewhere and have to sit out a year and then declare for the draft.
Yeah. I think Najee is a guy who, you know, regardless of what the coaching staff thinks, regardless of what the NFL thinks about him, just because I don't know those things, I'm not saying that he's not a first-round pick or whatever. I think Najee has always thought that he's on the three-year plan as well. Sure. So if Najee believes that he's going to go pro after 3 years, it doesn't make any sense for him to transfer after 2 years and have to sit out. So.
And it could very well be, you know, with Alabama looking for a new offensive coordinator with Michael Oxley leaving, that you see a little bit more of that feature back situation where guy does carry at 25. You know, Najee does get 22 carries a game. And then we'll see with Brian Robinson, and we'll see with Trey Sanders, the running back from IMG. And, you know, it's not like they have no depth, but it's not the way that it's been the last 3 or 4 years.
Yeah. That's a good place to do that. I don't think I have anything to add. So Irv Smith, being the fourth guy, was not able to be there with us today. He's going to Hale Hench's wedding. We like Hale, so I guess we'll excuse him for this one.
I wonder if the wedding in Missouri, do we know? Or?
I don't know. I'm not going to try and put them on blast and figure that out.
No,
I hope that they have a great weekend. Yeah.
That's their ceremony. We're not going to send the Tuscaloosa News helicopter to them.
Irv Smith, don't know if you knew this. Set a school record for receiving yards in a season and a school record for touchdowns in a season by a tight end, which I think is largely thanks to the offense that Alabama ran this year and having Tua Tagovailoa as quarterback. I don't know that anyone would say that Irv Smith is a more talented tight end than O.J. Howard, but that's how the season broke down for them.
And again, a guy he'll do well in NFL draft preliminaries. And I don't think Irv's a first rounder, but
not many tight ends.
Not many tight ends are.
OJ Howard was a physical freak, you know.
Yeah, he's and he was what, 23, 24?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
So it's.
I don't know if his stock was going to be higher.
Yeah,
but
that right. There's not going to be a first round. There may not be a first round tight end next year.
Yeah, I think you know. It might be the case that whatever, if he's a third or fourth round pick this year, then maybe next year he's a second or third round pick. I don't know what the draft grade is on him at this point. It's possible he could have helped himself by coming back a little bit. I think some people still think that he might not be an exceptional blocker. I think he's improved his blocking from where he was earlier in his career. But physically has a lot of the tools that NFL teams like. And tight end is another position that's kind of changed. You know, he has definitely shown the ability to move around a little bit and get out there in space. He's a mismatch against just about any linebacker. So I think he's the kind of tight end that some NFL teams, depending on their system, if they want a guy who can play in the slot and even out wide a little bit, I think they'll really like him.
I agree with that. And, again, where it leaves Alabama now, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, because you lose both Hale and Irv, who were really your two tight ends for the whole season.
Right.
You know, and then, Miller Forrestall was the third guy who was probably ahead of Irv Smith on the depth chart during the 2017 season before his knee injury. But Miller did not play a lot this season.
And then Kedrick James has off the field issues that he's got to work out. Could very well be ineligible for the first four games if he comes back at all.
Yeah. So you have Major Tennyson, who redshirted this season, I believe, only played in four games, and Michael Parker, the freshman who did not play this season.
They signed Jaleel Billingsley in
December. So that means they'll have either four or five tight ends returning, depending on the status of Kedrick James. But that's not a position with a lot of experience or a lot of proven production.
Or with a guy that you just eye test and say, well, he's 6'6 and 250, and he's going to be a first rounder.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see. I wonder if, just based on the receivers that they have coming back, if you see a lot more four wide receiver, one running back packages next year.
I would think.
Yeah, until someone kind of establishes himself there, which would be another big shift for the Alabama offense, because they've always had a tight end on the field, whether it was a blocking tight end or a pass catching tight end like an O.J. Howard or an Irv Smith. There's always been a tight end that was a part of Alabama's
Michael
offense.
Williams, who was, you know, a tackle slash tight end almost. But was
Brandon
a tight
Green,
end.
Who really was a tackle slash Brandon tight Green. End. Yeah,
Brandon Green, ask LSU about Brandon.
Yeah.
But they don't have that guy that I see on the roster right now. Billingsley is a, you know, he's a taller, thinner tight end, maybe a great receiver, but he's not the 260, 270-pound guy that's going to go head-to-head up with a defensive end.
Yeah. Okay. Now let's talk about the guys that are coming back. I'm going to run through the list of them pretty quickly here, and we can just review it at the end of that. So Deontay Thompson, Mack Wilson, Raekwon Davis, Terrell Lewis, Shaheem Carter, Trevon Diggs, and Anthony Jennings. I think Raekwon Davis was probably the biggest surprise based on where everything stood at the end of the season, that he chose to return for 2019.
We had talked earlier about guys who were in mock drafts in August, and Raekwon was a first rounder in a lot of the preseason.
He has the size, the athleticism, and the production going into the season.
He does. I don't know that his 2018 was as good as his 2017, but this could be a motivating thing for him to come back, and it really helps Alabama in terms of defensive line depth. I mean, really helps to have an experienced guy that could, you know, can play 60 snaps a game to build around.
Yeah.
And again, he's not Quinn and he's not Deron Payne, but he's a productive SEC player. There's no question about that.
Yeah, I think the defensive line with him and presumably LeBryan Ray being two of your returning players looks at least adequate for next year. Again, it's not going to be the most ferocious unit that Alabama has had at that position in the last few years. It's probably not going to be the strength of the defense, but getting Raekwon Davis back means that the defensive line is at least not a huge question mark going into next season. Deontay Thompson also might have been a guy that could have been drafted pretty highly. Again, I don't know if he would have been first round or top half of the first round, but getting him back is also a big deal. Last year, the talk was about Alabama losing its entire secondary from the previous season going into 2018, and it was the first time in the Nick Saban era that they'd had to rebuild the entire secondary in one offseason. I wonder if this is the first time that they'll have the entire secondary back.
I'd have to go back and double check, but they've had an early entry out of the secondary for many previous years.
Yeah.
So Minka last year, obviously.
Yeah, last year.
Minka was another one that was probably a 3-year plan guy from the outset. That's how good Minka was.
Yeah.
It's a given everybody being healthy, you know, given Diggs making a comeback. That's really the, you know, they've got at least five guys, Diggs, Surtain, McKinney, Thompson, Shaheem Carter.
Yeah.
That's a really good nucleus in the secondary.
Yeah. Savion Smith, as we're recording this, is still planning on returning to Alabama, or at least isn't declared for the draft. We should point out, we're recording this on Friday, January 11th, again, right after the announcements here. Nick Saban has said that they don't anticipate any other players declaring for the draft, but the deadline is not until Monday, so the door is still open if something strange were to happen. Savion Smith, I think, might end up being in a little bit of a difficult situation because he was beaten for 3 or 4 games by Patrick Surtain and Trevon Diggs. You know, he opened the season as a starter, got benched against Ole Miss, and got a starting job back when Trevon Diggs got hurt. I don't know if he's going to be a senior going into next year, and I don't know if he's going to be a starter for you when you have both Diggs and Surtain healthy.
I would think, and again, this is,
and I don't know if he can play another position other than corner.
And I don't know, again, this depends on somebody's health. I don't know that he could beat out Jalen Armour Davis.
Yeah.
Who's also, if he can come back from the knee, There's another guy back there that didn't get enough experience because he was hurt, but looked like he was going to play a good bit.
Yeah, and they like Josh Job as well, who was healthy and did not beat out Savion Smith. Right. But that's five pretty salty cornerbacks that you've got there going into the 2019 season. Mack Wilson, we should probably touch on here. I think there was a lot of criticism directed at Mack Wilson during the course of the season, and I think some of it was warranted. I don't think that Mack Wilson regressed during the course of the year. I think one thing that happened was that Mack Wilson had some holes in his game, and there were some teams that figured that out during the course of the year. And by the end of the year, when you're playing good teams, they just hammered away at those holes, and they figured out what he could do and what he couldn't do, and they just kept serving up the stuff that he couldn't do.
That's still another, you know, I thought Dylan Moses did improve.
Yes.
I think Mack can improve more. Somebody has got to step up depth wise at that position.
Yeah, I think Ale Kaho, who obviously came in late during fall camp and still earned a lot of playing time on special teams, will get some more playing time. He might be more of a Will than a Mike, which might mean that Dylan Moses needs to play a little bit more Mike. That Mack Wilson then becomes the guy who comes off the field in certain situations. If you have Dylan Moses and Ale Kaho on the field in nickel or in passing situations,
yeah, and then
have
again, depending on health, have Lewis and Jennings on the outside.
Yeah. Terrell Lewis told us back at Media Day for the Orange Bowl that he was planning on coming back. He said that he had considered going to the NFL despite really not playing that much, not playing at all this season with his torn ACL, but felt like he wanted to leave a legacy. He wanted to be on the field at Alabama at some point. And if he stays healthy this year, he's going to have the opportunity to do that with Christian Miller, Jamie Mosley, both gone. I'd assume that Terrell Lewis enters the 2019 season as your starter at Sam, probably.
I would think so, but again, you know, it's just a case where you could have, maybe even a month ago, 6 weeks ago, you could have foreseen them having to rebuild without Raekwon, without Deontay Thompson, without Mack, without very much without Terrell Lewis, maybe without Anthony Jennings. So that's all of a sudden, depending on what happens at the other defensive line spots. 2019 Alabama defense looks like it could be pretty good.
Anthony Jennings, I think, has really grown a lot during the last two seasons, really, when he's been a starter. I don't think he's ever been a liability on the field for Alabama. And when we do talk about liabilities on the field for Alabama's defense, it's important to note that these are all relative. Like we talked about before the Clemson game, when you talk about a weakness on a team like Alabama or Clemson, a weakness can be a very good player because everybody else around them is elite. It's a long way of saying I think Anthony Jennings has always been a good player for Alabama, who has particularly in the second half of this season touched on being really a matchup issue for teams at times. The Auburn game, he was phenomenal in. That might have been his best game of the season. He had an interception, was really disruptive as a pass rusher there. And also you saw some individual plays. The one that is going to stick out to me is the one where he just grabbed Kyler Murray, reached out from behind with one hand and pulled him down as Kyler was getting ready to take off in the open field in the Orange Bowl there.
Right. I think the thing to watch and something that we'll watch closely in the spring, there are some guys who didn't play a lot this year who could be really important. LeBryan Ray, you mentioned Ale Kaho, Iabi Anoma. I think a lot of people were like, well, "Why didn't he play in the national championship game? Why didn't you see more of him?" Well, he's just not ready, but I think he can get ready.
Yeah.
I think he has the ability to get ready. So
we can put it this way: if Mack Wilson is still struggling with the defense and being in the right place in his third year on campus, I don't know if it's a good idea to put Ale Kaho out there in his fourth month on campus.
Right. Right. So suddenly you've got more experience than I frankly anticipated the defense would have in 2019.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the offense comes together without really a proven tight end, without a ton of depth that we know of in the backfield. Although I think Brian Robinson and Trey Sanders would be the starters on most college football teams, just based on what their talent is and what we've seen from them so far. Again, when we're talking about Alabama, all of this is relative. I think that if you're coming out of today, maybe you would, if you're going to give this a grade as far as what Alabama lost and what they're bringing back, I'd say they're probably at a B+ mm-hmm. coming out of this time of the season. If you'd gotten one more of these guys back, maybe Irv or Josh Jacobs would have been the most either the most likely to come back or the most helpful, then that would have been an A.
I think so. And I'm interested to see in this recruiting class, which is number one ranked by a lot of people, but I don't know that there's anybody that just absolutely has to step in. If they can, they can. But I don't know that there's one. For Surtain last year, you would sort of have said, you know, he really needs to play. Jalen Waddle, I think most people knew he had the ability to play right away. I'm not 100% sure who the play right away guys would be next year. It doesn't mean that an Evan Neal or a Trey Sanders or somebody else. They really have recruited heavily in the secondary again. You know, mm-hmm. So one of those guys may be ready to step up and play. So if there were a – this is no slide on Julio Billingsley. If there was the number one tight end in the country, I would think he would have a pretty good chance to play at that position. But these other positions, it's going to be the typical Alabama where guys come in behind experienced guys.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's a good place for us to leave this. We've got other work to get to today as well. So,
as always.
Yeah. Hope you guys enjoyed this. We'll be back next week with more football podcasts. We'll probably break down some of the coaching changes on staff at that point. It's probably time for us to give you guys another basketball podcast as well. So stay tuned for that. Until next time, this is the Bama Beat.